Welcome back to The Visible Entrepreneur. We're going to be jumping back into my conversation with Carrie, Rachel, and Adrian. But before we do, I wanted to give you a little introduction because it's one thing to hear what strategies are in place, how to do something. And overall, this has definitely been a how-to podcast. Just check out the first two seasons. There's plenty of gold in there. But what I also love to do is learn by example, see what other people are doing. So in this episode, I really wanted to know what is coming for you in 2020. What are you focusing on? So let us listen to what each of them said.
And what I'd love to transition into is, what are you building over the next year? What's going on? I want to light things up a little bit. I saw Rachel go like, ding.
Yeah. Loved it. I'm building a small child. So that's like priority number one. So her due date is in January. Who knows when she'll come, but that's like, you know, that has been a big focus for our business and for our vision, even like in terms of what we want to change over the past like 6 months. That's kind of something we've been thinking about. Like, what do we want to change for the business, for our customers, so that they can continue to be supported regardless of whether or not I'm full on in or not, because I know that like I plan to take at least 4 weeks fully unplugged, just because that's kind of our recipe for testing if a business can run without you. But I'll probably take a lot more time than that to wean back in, and who knows how I'm going to be feeling, who knows what I'm going to want to do. So just really preparing the business for me being less involved, actually. And it's been such a good practice of looking at the vision and looking at our team members and what they need to really be able to step into and how we can get them to be more autonomous. So my vision is less about like changing our products or programs or anything like that, and more so about dialing the ones in that we already have and the ones that we know that they work. And how can I elevate the leaders within my company to be able to run those really effectively without me? I love being able to step in and coach, but I want it to be from a perspective of like, I choose to do that, not that I have to do that. And we're finally at that point where we have team members that can effectively run our programs without me. So that's a really cool place to be. And like the one thing that we've done over the past been working on it for about 2 to 3 months, and we'll go live with it in the next month, is turning our program evergreen so that we're not dependent on live launches. Because I was pregnant this year and we did a live launch and it really killed me. And I think it also just made me realize that like right after the live launch, the next day we had over 20 people signed up for our wait list for the next round. And I was like, we have a program that people want year round. We have a program that people, when they need it, they need it. So why are we not giving it to them? So that's been like, you know, you think it's going to be really quick. And this is another thing that I've learned through the years. Like, you think that something like that, like a project, is going to be really quick, but it takes time to do that. So that's kind of our vision, is getting this evergreen funnel live, elevating our leaders to be able to run it, and then dialing that in so that that funnel becomes a $1 million funnel by the end of 2020 would be our goal. So we have a plan to do that, and that'll kind of be what we, you know, keep focused on versus like putting new things and new ideas in. We'll put new ideas into how do we better support our students, but not into what else do we need to do and launch and create. So that's kind of been the big vision for us.
Love it. How about you, Carrie?
Well, I think my vision for next year is based off of identifying a series of problems that have been arising this year. So just because I like to be honest and open, I will tell you all. So about 2 years ago, I had the realization of like, what got me here won't get me there. And I knew that I needed to like radically transform how we were operating as an organization. And a big part of that was like operations and expanding the team. And my goodness, I have had like so many ups and downs with it. Like, I remember like having to fire someone and like crying in a ball with my dog, being like, this is the worst thing ever. But what I realized is that, I had a rude awakening when I was looking through the finances, and I did a comparison between this year and last year. And while we are generating more revenue, our net profit, I was like, has taken a hammering. And I think this is obviously a trap that so many entrepreneurs fall into when they expand their team. And so, but basically what I've done is I've expanded the team and I've removed myself, only I haven't removed myself because now I'm tangled up in like a million and one feedback requests and like review this. And I'm like, oh my goodness gracious me, this is more overwhelming than if I did it myself. And then on top of that, the team are focusing on things like tasks. So we're not generating any more revenue because we're not doing anything differently to generate more revenue. And I think this is like a real issue for so many entrepreneurs. Like I'm an ideas person. I am creative. I like the big vision stuff. I am not good at like the COO type role operations. Like it's just not my forte. And so I've like had to do so much learning and be so honest with myself about the problems. But in kind of doing this review and like taking a really hard look at where we're at, I've realized, well, I have a choice. Like, I mean, I had to get rid of the whole team and go back to how it was, but that is not growing. That's just going back to where I was. Or I figure out how to actually set us in a new direction where we all work in a much more effective way. I restructure like who's doing what and who's managing so that I'm not in like a management role. And we look at how we are going to generate more revenue, because the past 6 years, we've literally focused on growing the membership, which has been amazing and has helped us to get to 5,000 members. But, you know, we have people leave. Like the other week, someone was like, oh, I've been here for 2 years. It's been the most incredible experience. I've loved it so much. It's helped me build my confidence up. But now I'm ready for the next mentoring program, which is not with FEA because we do not have one. And I was like, what is going on? Like, how many times do I need to read this before I do something? Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, I need to figure out what the next level FEA looks like. And also realize with this that like, because it's been such a long time since I've created like a new product, that I've got massive imposter syndrome. And I feel like I can feel my, you know, when you're on that next level, that voice inside of your head that says like, oh, but is it going to be good enough? And all these voices that I'm like, go away and leave me alone. So basically my strategy has been, one, as always, get help. So I've actually got a VIP day with Ali Brown coming up because I wanted to work with somebody that I felt like could help me to kind of, sometimes when you're in it, you can't see the wood for the trees. So working with someone else to help me gain perspective on the amazing situation we're in and the incredible opportunities we have and looking at like the path forward. Two, I've been brainstorming ideas like crazy because there's so many different avenues to go down. So, but then three, I've kind of looked at like 2020 as in, what do I want it to be about? And I always pick a word for the year. And my word so far, which I don't know if it'll 100% stick, but it feels like the right thing, is revenue. And I have never, ever made revenue my goal ever. Like it just never has been. But for me, the biggest thing that comes with revenue is being of service. So the more I can show up and be of service next year, the more likely our revenue is going to increase. But I really want to kind of get it to a place where next year we're focused on what are we doing that's generating revenue, so that the team knows when we're creating this free content, it has to link back to generating revenue. And if it doesn't, we're not doing it. And so for me, next year is focused on a big operational change, a big internal change, getting us all rowing in the right direction towards growth. And then looking at like what's the low hanging fruit that we can put in place now that will help us to generate revenue and obviously serve our audience, and what's high level stuff that we can do that our audience are asking us for repeatedly, which we are constantly ignoring. And like, let's get that in place. So I'm really excited for the possibilities, but at the same time, I'm terrified because it feels like it's such a cusp. And and at the same time, I realize that the situation we're in right now is not ideal. Like I don't want to, it's been a struggle. Like it has just been a real struggle like the past 18 months, 2 years. And I'm throwing a baby in the mix to all of that and like feeling so out of it with and not having the motivation. Ooh, it's been quite the adventure. But I'm excited, but I kind of wanted to share all that because I just think that sometimes people see, you know, all of us online and you never see behind the stage. You just see what's going on the front and it looks like someone's really got it together. When really behind the scenes, like that could be so far from the truth. And I think we're all winging it in some way. We're all struggling in some way. And I think that the more honest and open we all are, the more we realize that is just what it's about. That's what, how you become great, is that you're willing to get through those phases. So yeah, so in a nutshell, that's where I'm at.
100%. I'm so glad that you shared all that. Thank you for being open, because that's what I want this season to be about, is the real stuff. And I think there is that perception that, oh, so-and-so has it all together. Oh, so-and-so is perfect. So I should just quit because I couldn't possibly measure up to that. And that's not where we want people coming from. So I'm so glad that you shared that. Thank you.
This Rachel. Next year for me is interesting because it is all about me. That sounds so egotistical and like egomaniacal, as they say on Grey's Anatomy. But honestly,
Grey's that Anatomy is still on.
What was that?
So is Grey's Anatomy still on? Are we still watching?
Yes. Wow. Don't give me any spoilers. I'm only on season 10.
I don't know any. Don't worry.
So, like, one thing that's interesting is the question I get a lot is, like, how did you build your business so quickly to the level that it's at? Because it does seem really fast from the outside. But what's crazy is I look back at, like, the last 3.5 years, and it was chaos. Like, it was literally me thinking, like, if I don't do this, if I don't say yes to every opportunity, if I don't do way more than one person really should in a year, everything's going to fall apart and you're going to end up back on welfare. And that has been this like fear in my head. So everything came from a place of scarcity, and it showed in everything from our operations to our systems to the way that I led a team. And this was the year that I felt the fallout from it, and it hurt. And I started to kind of dive into like, what does it look like to actually operate from a place of consistency and health and like positive thoughts and vision versus fear of losing everything. And it's kind of funny because little things that I didn't think were a big deal, for example, always running on RST, which Adrian knows it's Rachel Standard Time, which means we're like way late to everything. That wasn't an external.
Which gives me hives, but I embraced yes. it. Yeah.
We're allowed to do it only on our international trip. So Italy is going to run on RST, but we're announcing that and planning that ahead of time. But like, that was not like a, oh, I need to work on time management. It was a, you're taking on too much and you're drowning and you're not doing everything or anything well. Like everything is at like 75%. Imagine what it would look like if you slowed down, said no to some opportunities and went to 100. And like, I've experienced some of the fallout of like, what does it look like to be consistent? What does it look like to actually stop every day and say, I'm going to sleep tonight versus I have to stay up because if I don't, my competition is working tonight and they're going to crush me while I sleep for one night. Like it doesn't even sound logical, but those were the fears that I had as I built my business. And so it's been a real restructuring and kind of just recognizing, actually Clockwork has been a huge part of that for us, recognizing what is it that is truly my queen bee role and how do I do that with excellence every single day versus trying to do all the things all the time. So that's kind of what our next year looks like. And I'm really excited.
That's really cool. Wow. One of the things that made me think when you were talking about that is like, I don't know if you guys experience this, but one of the things sometimes I struggle so much with or have been lately is actually giving myself permission to create space for myself as the CEO. And when I say that, I kind of mean like that I wake up in the morning and it's like, I just know I need to slow down and take time to like journal and visualize and all the stuff that I've always done. And it's been so helpful that I just stopped doing because I just like, oh my gosh, like there's so much to do. And I instantly see Slack and all these messages. And I'm like, if I don't get started now, then I'm not going to get stuff done. And then I got to the point where I wasn't even taking the dog out for a walk because I felt like I couldn't do it. And then when obviously throwing my son into the mix, it's been like, where I feel I want to go and hang out with him, but I don't give myself permission to because I think I can't, I've got to work. And I'm like, I had this realization recently. I was like, why am I doing this to myself? Like, why do I keep telling myself I can't do it because I have to work? Like, I just don't get it. And I just think, I don't know if any of you, you know, experience this, but it's so crazy, isn't it? How sometimes we just get such a warped mindset on like what we allow ourselves permission to do. And like, why do we take away all the good stuff from ourselves and feel like we have to work, work, work? It's just,
and it's not crazy. Productive either for the vision. Like it doesn't help. Right. And that, like, when we, work with our clients, like we have a distinction between the doing and then what we call the design time. And I think that the design time, like that is your role. I was talking to one of my friends, Alex Beaton, about this because she was like you're talking about, Carrie, like so trapped in all the doing and her team was giving her all these tasks. And she's like, I need to be setting the vision. And I just feel like every day I'm like on this, you know, wheel of doing all the things. And I was like, but you're supposed to be the captain of the ship and you're like down in the engine room right now trying to like shovel coal. And that's going to be a recipe for disaster. So you have to start valuing the design time, right? And design time to me means like the open space so that you can allow that design and vision and all those things to come through. Otherwise the team is going to be at risk as well, right? Because if we're not up in the captain's quarters, guiding, steering, leading the ship, then no one else is. So I've been really diligent with that for myself of even just like blocking it off and knowing that like Rachel said, I know what my most important role is. I put that on the calendar. When am I going to do that? And then when am I going to save the design time for? And I think that when the team understands the value of that, well, when you understand the value of that, you can communicate it to the team, because I think oftentimes we also project onto the team that like, it's not valuable. We think, oh, they're going to think I'm lazy, or they're going to think I'm, you know, not pulling my own weight if I'm not sitting at the computer answering the Slack or doing the things, when they don't necessarily think that. We think that about ourselves.
Yeah.
And then we project it onto them.
Yeah.
When we've never even had this conversation. But I know that like that plagues so many of our CEOs. It's plagued me too. And I've had to like figure out a way to understand what is the value of that, what we call design time for our organization. And it is huge because you think about like when in the beginning, when you first started your company, like you had the vision, like that was what started it. Right. And then as soon as we start day one of our business, we get immediately into all of the doing and we forget that that was like the most exciting and most important part of the whole process was right before, like the design that we did before we even started. So getting back to that.
So important. I've literally been forcing myself lately to like just create space. Literally force is the right word, because I try and talk myself out of it and I'm like, but no, but you have to do this, because if you don't do this, then this will happen and this will happen. I'm like, no, just stop. Like so challenging. I'm getting there with it though.
One of the things I started doing that really supported me with this was I take the whole weekend off. And I mean, like, I literally check in 5 minutes on Saturday, 5 minutes on Sunday, just to post things to keep like social engagement going. And that was, it's still one of the weirdest things, like being out for the whole weekend and being like, listen, this can all wait until Monday. And what's amazing for me is discovering like how much of it didn't stinking matter. Like, was this really an emergency that you couldn't find the login to the portal and you felt the need to message me personally on my Facebook? Actually, oh, you figured it out by Monday. Great. Good. Awesome. I'm glad that I'm empowering you. Like, do you know what I mean? I think that that's even true with our kids. We feel like we have to figure everything out. And my kids are 9 and 5 now, which is, they're starting to be really fun ages, because I don't like babies. Sorry, guys. I really don't. They're so hard. and I'm realizing like, yes, I can make them a snack, or I can be like, why don't you go find yourself a healthy snack in the fridge and empower them to do it, because they'll figure it out. And now they'll be able to get themselves snacks whenever they need it. Get yourself a healthy snack. Here's 3 options. Go find them. And that's something I've been doing with like my team, and then with our clients and customers too. Nothing is really an emergency. What Adrian said to me once just like has been one of my mantras. We're not creating oxygen, people. And that was like,
it's one of our like core values as a company. And we operate by that. And I love that that's stuck with you too, because it's true.
Like, I can breathe because we're not having to create the oxygen, you know, it's already there.
Not an emergency. We even have like on our autoresponders, like if this is an emergency, like please call 911, because like we're not the right team, right? Like, you're going to be fine. So we'll get back to you on Monday, right? Like, but so like good. Sometimes you have to like set that tone even for clients and customers, because they're in that manic state sometimes, because it does feel like an emergency. And so it's like, okay, let's like set some perspective here. You're going to be fine. We'll get back to you Monday morning. Or like Rachel said, we're going to empower you to figure it out on your own because I'm not going to answer something immediately, right? Which also means that I'm like helping prepare them even better for the future because I don't want people to become codependent on me either, like to answer all their questions immediately and do any of that. So
yeah, makes sense.
Totally. Well, thank you for all those shares, ladies. I think that was really interesting for me to hear and to, you know, for me, I'm a huge advocate of Joe Dispenza. And so I spend a lot of time every morning in meditation just because, especially for me, growing up ill, you get into that survival, fight or flight, high expectation state. And I think it's so easy to bring into your business. So it's very encouraging for me to hear how you have all started to pull yourselves out of that and recognize these patterns mm-hmm. to focus on what matters most, which is, yes, being a CEO, but more importantly, your health and your family, because that's why we do what we do.
Wasn't that a fascinating episode? For me, I learned a lot. I learned from Rachel how stepping into your Queen Bee role, not being afraid to really have your team members be accountable and try to make shift solutions. That's something I really struggle with. So that's something I definitely wanted to take away. I also loved how Adrian hit on having your business be able to survive without you for 4 weeks. Isn't that terrifying? But such a great goal to aspire to. And I learned a ton from Carrie Green, who's done such an amazing job scaling her membership and some of the challenges that came along with that and what she's going to be prioritizing this year. So a lot of cool takeaways. Remember, we really lean on your support of this show to keep it going. So if you loved it, hit like, give us a 5-star review, give us some feedback so that we know what you loved most about this season. And in the meantime, we're going to be jumping into the next episode. Ready?